Now, if you're here, don't let yourself be a visitor. Make yourself right at home in God's house. If you're a child of God, we are all His children. If you will, turn to John chapter 3 this morning. And no, we're not going to preach about Nicodemus, but he does cover the first part of John chapter 3 and coming to Jesus by night and asking him about being saved and Jesus telling him that a man must be born again. And Nicodemus couldn't understand how a man could enter back into his mother's womb and be born again. But Jesus explained to him what it was, being born of the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. I'm thankful that I was born of the flesh one time, but I thank God that I was born of the Spirit, that I'll never more die. Thank God I am immortal. Gene and Janice said yesterday that when their life here was over, that they were going to be together for eternity in heaven. Thank God, what a testimony and a witness today, because of the salvation of Jesus Christ, that we'll never have to part if we're His children. Thank God that He has prepared a place for His people. And thank God that though many different ones preach the gospel. Now listen, there's many different people that preach the gospel. It's still what it all is about. It's about Jesus. Amen. Not the mouthpiece that's standing before you, not the mouthpiece that might be somewhere else, but it's about Jesus and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that He came to save all mankind. Not just part of mankind, but all mankind, if they will hear Jesus speak to them. If they'll hear them call to their heart and will heed His warning and will come to Him for salvation and choose to love Jesus. Today, He, like I said before, He won't make you do anything you don't want to do, but He'll give you an opportunity to love Him in return. What a great God that we serve. Now, we see here in John chapter 3, and we're going to start in the 22nd verse. It said, "After these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them and baptized." Now here we see the record of Jesus baptizing people, though Jesus actually never personally baptized people in the water. His disciples done that. John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, was baptizing when Jesus came to him there at the Jordan and told John that he must suffer it to be so, that he would be baptized of him. And we know that whenever John gave in and baptized Jesus, because he was reluctant, because he was flesh like you and I, and he knew there was something different about Jesus. He knew that there was something special about this man who was virgin born, who came to this world in a way that no other person had ever entered it before, came in of the virgin birth and was born into this world to be the sin debt payer, to pay off our debt that we owed there, to cancel it out, to sign our pardon, ever how you want to say it, that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not do away with it, but He came to fulfill it. But He said He tarried with them and He baptized. I thank God that He's still tarrying with us today, that He still walks with us, that He still talks with us, that He still visits with us. And thank God that He still loves us in spite of ourselves and all the things that we do and all the things that we do in this flesh that we're not proud of. Well, let me tell you, Jesus still loves you. He wants to tarry with you. He wants to baptize you through His Spirit and bring you into the family of God. He wants to put His blood upon you and cover those black sins and make you white as snow, that He don't see them anymore. He wants to be there with you, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A brother can only go with you so far, but thank God Jesus can go all the way. Jesus can go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you, who thinks that they're not in that valley today? Everybody's in the valley of the shadow of death, but thank God I don't fear it, because I thank God on the other side of that valley's home. I thank God that on the other side of that valley there's a body that knows no more pain. I thank God on the other side of that valley that there's no more glasses, there's no more insulin, there's no more need of the prescriptions that we have to get from the doctor's office to make us live longer, but yet we complain about all of our pains and ailments still anyway. Thank God none of that stuff's going to be there. All those things are going to be wiped away. No more tears is going to be there, because God's going to take His hand and wipe them away. And He said He would be our God and we would be His people. Amen. He wants to tarry with you today. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be with you on the highways and byways of this life. Now, I've seen some of you drive. If you're hauling Jesus with you, slow down, Bridget. And be careful. But Jesus wants to be there with you all the time, not just when it's convenient for you. He wants you to give Him praise in the morning for the breath to get out of bed. I saw a thing yesterday, said the man woke up and said his day was just terrible. He was talking with God in the afternoon. He said, when I got up this morning, said this was wrong and that was wrong, and all these things happened. My car wouldn't start. I was late getting to work. My breakfast wouldn't cook, and all these things was happening, and he was just having a terrible day. And he said, God, why'd you let this happen to me? And God answered, and he said, well, said the reason why your car wouldn't start, there was a drunk driver that was going to be in your path if you left at that time. So I made your car start a little bit slow so you wouldn't be in the path of that drunk driver, because he would have killed you if you'd have went when you wanted to go. The guy was a little bit ashamed. He said, oh. And this happened. The reason why that sandwich was made wrong when you went to lunch was because that person that made it first was sick. I didn't want you to get sick, so that's why it was made wrong, so you could get somebody else to make it, so you could be well. And all these other things that happened because he was taken care of. And the man thought for a few moments. He said, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me today. Sometimes we don't see the blessings because we see through our eyes what went wrong. But for some reason, God allowed it to be that wrong that we wouldn't may end up in a place where we'd end up hurt. He wants to tarry with us. He wants us to be there to bless us. He wants to be there that he can baptize us with his Spirit, that we can walk with him, that we can talk with him. Don't be afraid when you hear the Holy Spirit mentioned. Embrace him. Amen. God give him to you for a comfort. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Now we're going to see here division. We got Jesus and his disciples over here in one part baptizing. We got John and his disciples over here in another part baptizing. Who's the greatest? Who should we follow? Who's the one that's in charge? Who's the one that we're supposed to listen to? Let me tell you, I always tell you this, and I'll always tell you this, let Jesus be in charge. Let God be the focus of your life. Let Jesus be the one that's in charge and have the reins of your life, not the preacher standing behind the book board. Because I could steer you wrong. Jesus never will. Jesus never will. As long as we stay in the Word of God, we won't. As long as we interpret it the way God has intended it for it to be, not put our twist on it. But said that they were also baptizing because there was much water there. For John was not yet cast into prison. You remember, John's going to be cast into prison and he's going to lose his head because he made a stand. He's going to have his head required of him, a death, because he stood firm on the Word of God and what God had taught him and instructed him to say. If we had court today, how many of us could be found guilty for serving God? You don't have to answer that out loud. You know how much evidence there is against you or for you. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Now let me tell you what to purifying is. It's not the water that's in the creek. It's knowing Jesus as your Savior. Amen. It's knowing God as your Father. Jesus says your Savior in the finished work on Calvary. That's the purifying that we need to go through. Because friend, you can be baptized in every creek that there is in Allegheny County till every tadpole knows you by name, and it don't make you saved and it don't make you pure. You go in a dry center and come out a wet one. But what the purification is through the blood of Christ. But they were questioning here the purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. See, they were trying to appeal to John's carnal man. You're losing your foothold. They're starting to go to Jesus and be baptized. They're starting to listen to him. Some of your crowds are waning away and going to listen to this Jesus. All men's coming to him. Well, I want to tell you something. When a preacher gets his feelings hurt because another preacher might preach a message that somebody gets saved, that preacher better check his heart. Thank God, God's the one that does the work. And whoever he uses to preach the message that will touch a heart, thank God for it, that he's still using all mankind that will stand up and preach God's word. That people might be born again, making preparation. But they were trying to see if John would get jealous because they were going to Jesus. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. It was told in the Old Testament there would be one going before Jesus, a voice crying out in the wilderness, and that was John the Baptist. He didn't have on a suit of clothes. He didn't have on a tie. He didn't look like what we would probably even consider a preacher. We probably considered him to be a wild man with his camel hair upon him and out there with his leather girdle about his loins. We'd probably thought he had lost his mind today. I know some of you think that I have, but I've not. I've put a chain on it so it wouldn't go far. But you bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ. John said, look, it's not about me. I'm the forerunner. I was the one that was come to make straight the way for Jesus. I was the one that was sent to start preaching about the Messiah coming. He said he wasn't even worthy to loose the shoes from Jesus' feet. I think somewhere along the way we've got it backwards. That God's not worthy to hear our problems. That God's not worthy to lead our life. God's not in contact and connection with the day and the age that we live in. Well, the problem is that we've lost connection with God. We've got stiff-necked. We've got to the point where we're past the cross. I can't get over the cross. I'll never get over the blood of Jesus and what it did for me on Calvary. And if I do, Lord, help me. Because I have lost my mind. But the blood of Jesus is what it takes for salvation. It's what it still takes today. And thank God it will keep me until God calls me home. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Listen, I thank God. There's a lot of preachers that may plow the same ground, but I thank God when the seed germinates in someone's heart and they surrender. It may be a place that I've already been. It may be a place that I'm going. But thank God it's God the one that gives the increase. If we'll just be honest and be humble before Him and just keep on doing the work of God and keep on preaching, it'll give us joy to know that Jesus is still saving wherever it might happen, that we can rejoice in the Lord and that our joy be fulfilled. There's so many people today that are looking for some kind of fulfillment in their life. Well, it's not in oxycodone. It's not in Jim Beam or Jack Daniels or George Dickel. It's not in Budweiser. It's not in none of those things. It's not in betting on the Super Bowl this afternoon. You got a gambling problem and you just couldn't wait to place your bet on who's going to win this afternoon, you need to talk to Jesus. He'll help you. He'll help you. Let me tell you, we've went on our own too long, church. We need to rely on Jesus because I can't carry the load. You can't carry the load, but Jesus can. Jesus can. But our joy can be fulfilled in our heart if we serve Him. Singers that sing a song, you may sing one time and just tear up the whole congregation and have them in tears, and the next time you sing it and you think, is anybody alive? But your joy can be fulfilled because you're doing what God's instructed you to do. Be obedient to His Spirit. Now listen, He must increase, but I must decrease. We've got people with personalities so big, God ain't got no room around them. Let that soak in for just a minute. We got people with personalities so big, there's no room for God around them. They forgot Him. I thank God I've not forgot where I met Jesus at in an altar at Mount Carmel Church. But I met Him years before that when He dealt with my heart, but I finally surrendered to Him there. And He saved me right here in this altar. It was about right here when it used to come square off this wall is where I bowed and told Jesus that I would answer the call to preach if He needed me. I would surrender to Him because I'd been running and I was tired of running. Don Ball was preaching the revival that week and I surrendered to God and said, here I am. Whatever it is you want me for, you use me. You use me. March the 26th is when I finally announced my call and I surrendered here. But it was some weeks later before I announced it when God dealt with my heart and showed me what I was to do. In Bethel Baptist Church in Ashe County on Water Tank Road, But God is the one that must increase. If I'm remembered for what I do for Christ, I want Him to be the reason that our testimony that we leave behind is that we're a Christian. That we're a Christian. That we serve God. That we try our best to do what God would have us do. So the carnal man must decrease that the spiritual man may increase. And that's only through the Spirit of God. That Jesus must be lifted up. John knew, it's not about me, but it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. He knew that he wasn't being done away with, but his work was being completed that God wanted him to do. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. We need to remember that as mankind, that God should be in control. We don't have the answers. Because most of the time we don't know the question. We're trying to answer the question before it's finished asking, and we don't listen to all the question. That ever get you in trouble on a test? You read three words, oh, I know this one. But you didn't read the rest of the question? That's the way man is. Sometimes we don't read all the question. You ever have a test and it says read all the test before you do anything and you don't, you start reading the whole question and you answer and you get to the end, it says sign your name and turn it in? Now I've heard of those tests. Nobody ever gave me one of those. I would go to the end and look for that before I had to read it all. But I never got one. I wished I had it a few times, but I didn't. But God will help us through our test of time. He'll be there with us when we're down and out. Amen. Through the good times, through the bad. Through our happy and through our sad. He's there with us always, he said. Even to the end of the earth. And thank God at the end of the earth, he said he'd take us to heaven. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Jesus said he came and he done the things that he saw the Father do. It wasn't of him, but it was of the Father. He come to do the Father's will. The Father's will that the deaf would be able to hear, the lame would be able to walk, the blind would be able to see, the lepers would be cleansed, the dead would be raised, and that people would trust Jesus in his finished work at Calvary. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He was all God. In the flesh. He was the Word that came that people didn't recognize. He was the light of the world, but yet they stayed in darkness because they loved the darkness and didn't comprehend the light. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to stay in a dark room if I can help it. And I don't know why a lost and dying world wants to stay in the dark when there's light that will point out the way home. The way home, the light. We are to be reflections of that light. If God lives inside of you, He should be so big that He shines through you that you couldn't contain Him. That your light would so shine for the Father. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. God gave Jesus all things into His hand. He gave the judgment of this world into Jesus' hand because He came and paid the sin debt. So He has the right to judge this world. He has the right to condemn this world. But he said in him there was no condemnation. Thank you, Lord. He came to set men free. He came to forgive sin. He came to love mankind and to lift us out of the devil's hell. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Thank God. It's not dependent upon you or me. After we surrender to God through Jesus. It's not dependent upon how I feel. If I get goosebumps, you can have a fever and get goosebumps. But thank God that Jesus loves us and will give us everlasting, eternal life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God. Can you imagine? With all the blessings that God gives us, all that He pours out to us, all the blessings that we receive, can you imagine what His wrath would be like? Friend, I don't want to ever see the wrath of God. I'm glad I won't have to. That I'll know His love. I'll be in His presence. You think about what heaven's going to be like. You think about seeing Jesus standing there in His royal robe. Not with the crown of thorns on His head any longer. Maybe the scars are left there from those thorns that were pressed on His head. Not just pressed, shoved. See those nail-scarred hands. Maybe His spear-pierced side. Maybe the scars in His feet. The only thing that man ever made that entered into heaven. He bore the stripes in His body so you and I wouldn't have to. By His stripes we are healed. We don't have to suffer the wrath of God. But friend, if you're here today and you don't know Him, you're not abiding in the Savior. His blood's not been applied to your life. If there's not a time that you can remember that you ever was cleansed through Jesus' sweet blood upon your life and you ask Him to be your Savior. If you can't remember that time, if you can't remember ever surrendering, there ever being a change in your heart, then you need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus. You need to surrender to Him. Well, church, I signed the church card. That's not good enough. I've been out in the creek and I've been baptized. That's not good enough. Maybe you went to a church where they sprinkled. That ain't good enough. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to know Jesus and Him alone and His salvation. Nothing added to it. Nothing can be taken away. Jesus and His sacrifice. His blood. His salvation. Not what you think it ought to be. But what God said it is. Trust Him. Trust Him. We sang the song, "I am thine, O Lord." Are we? Are we committed to Him, church? Are we truly trusting Him? Do we surrender to His power? Do we allow Him to control our life? Or we say, "Well, here it is, God, but I'm going to keep 80% and you can have His 20. He don't want a commitment like that. He's not an insurance company. He's an assurance company. He said, "I want you 100% because I covered you 100%. I want you to love me 100%. But you get to choose. Will you love Him? As we stand to our feet, as they get a song of invitation ready this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, if you're here lost, friend, I can't save you, but Jesus can. If I could do it for you and stand in your place, I'd be in this altar and all of you'd be saved. I can't do it. Your mama, your daddy can't do it for you. Your grandma, your grandpa can't do it for you. Your husband, your wife, they can't do it for you. They can't live good enough to get you in because they're saved. It's individual. Do you love Him this morning? Or do you want to get in love with Him because He loves you? He wants to save you this morning. Christians, everyone bow your heads and pray.